Our reading in the Old Testament comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 35, verse 10. We'll go through chapter 36, verse 38. Here is a brief overview of some of what we'll be reading about today in Scripture. God did not require these special offerings that we'll be reading about, but He appealed to people with generous hearts. Only those who are willing to give were invited to participate. God loves people who give cheerfully. Our giving should be from love and generosity, not from a guilty conscience. Review what God has done for you. Has He blessed you with enough to meet your daily needs? Well, thank Him, and then cheerfully give so others' needs can be met. Learn the joy of giving wholeheartedly to God, and God will open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings in such abundance that you won't be able to contain them. That's His promise. You have to trust God in this. Moses, February 13th, help with the tabernacle. Every one of God's people has been given special abilities, and we're responsible to develop these abilities, even the ones not considered religious, and to use them for God's glory. We can become skilled through study, by watching others, and through practice. Work on your skills or abilities that could help your church or community. Now, where did the Israelites, who were once Egyptian slaves, get all this gold and jewelry that we'll be reading about here in Scripture today? When the Hebrews left Egypt, they took with them items they requested from the Egyptians. The Egyptians had been so glad for them to go that they readily gave these valuables to the Hebrews. And this included gold, silver, jewels, linen, skins, and other valuables. And we'll also read about cherubim today. Of course, they are mighty angels. They are not little bitty babies, as is often portrayed in so many paintings considered biblical. Cherubim are mighty angels. And when they appear, they strike terror in the hearts of even the strongest warriors. And often, as is the case at the tomb, when the angel approached, the soldiers, the Roman soldiers, are guarding the tomb of Jesus. They just fainted dead away. Cherubim are mighty angels. Now the Ark, also called the Ark of the Covenant, was built to hold the Ten Commandments. It symbolized God's covenant with His people. Two gold angels called cherubim were placed on its top. The Ark was Israel's most sacred object and was kept in the most holy place in the tabernacle. Only once a year, the high priest entered the most holy place to sprinkle blood on the top of the Ark, called the Atonement Cover, to atone for the sins of the entire nation. All right, let's read all about it now, here in the Old Testament. February 13th, the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 35, verse 10, through chapter 36, 38. Come, all of you who are gifted craftsmen, construct everything that the Lord has commanded. The tabernacle and its sacred tent, its covering, clasps, frames, crossbars, posts, and bases. The ark and its carrying poles. The ark's cover, the place of atonement, the inner curtain to shield the ark, the table, its carrying poles, and all its utensils, the bread of the presence, for light, the lampstand, its accessories, the lamp cups, and the olive oil for lighting, the incense altar and its carrying poles, the anointing oil and fragrant incense, the curtain for the entrance of the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering, the bronze grating of the altar and its carrying poles and utensils, the wash basin with its stand, the curtains for the walls of the courtyard, the posts and their bases, the curtain for the entrance to the courtyard, the tent pegs of the tabernacle and courtyard and their ropes, the beautifully stitched garments for the priests to wear while ministering in the holy place, the sacred garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments for his sons to wear as they minister as priests. So the whole community of Israel left Moses and returned to their tents. All whose hearts were stirred and whose spirits were moved came and brought their sacred offerings to the Lord. They brought all the materials needed for the tabernacle, for the performance of its rituals, and for the sacred garments. Both men and women came, all whose hearts were willing. They brought to the Lord their offerings of gold, brooches, earrings, rings from their fingers, and necklaces. They presented gold objects of every kind as a special offering to the Lord. All those who owned the following items willingly brought them: blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, and goat hair for cloth, and tanned ram skins, and fine goatskin leather. And all who had silver and bronze objects gave them as a sacred offering to the Lord, and those who had acacia wood brought it for use in the project. All the women who were skilled in sewing and spinning prepared blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine linen cloth. All the women who were willing used their skills to spin the goat hair into yarn. The leaders brought onyx stones and the special gemstones to be set in the ephod and the priest's chest piece. They also brought spices and olive oil for the light, the anointing oil, and the fragrant incense. So the people of Israel, every man and woman who was eager to help in the work the Lord had given them through Moses, brought their gifts and gave them freely to the Lord. Then Moses told the people of Israel, "The Lord has specifically chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, grandson of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. The Lord has filled Bezalel with the Spirit of God, giving him great wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of crafts. He is a master craftsman, expert in working with gold, silver, and bronze. He is skilled in engraving and mounting gemstones and in carving wood. He is a master of every craft. And the Lord has given both him and Aholiab, son of Ahizamak of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach their skills to others. The Lord has given them special skills as engravers, designers, embroiderers in blue, purple, and scarlet thread, on fine linen cloth, and weavers. They excel as craftsmen and as designers. The Lord has gifted Bezalel, Aholiab, and the other skilled craftsmen with wisdom and ability to perform any task involved in building the sanctuary. Let them construct and furnish the tabernacle just as the Lord has commanded." So Moses summoned Bezalel and Aholiab and all the others who were specially gifted by the Lord and were eager to get to work. Moses gave them the materials donated by the people of Israel as sacred offerings for the completion of the sanctuary. But the people continued to bring additional gifts each morning. Finally, the craftsmen who were working on the sanctuary left their work. They went to Moses and reported, "The people have given more than enough materials to complete the job the Lord has commanded us to do." So Moses gave the command, and this message was sent throughout the camp. "Men and women, don't prepare any more gifts for the sanctuary. We have enough." So the people stopped bringing their sacred offerings. Their contributions were more than enough to complete the whole project. The skilled craftsmen made 10 curtains of finely woven linen for the tabernacle. Then Bezalel decorated the curtains with blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and with skillfully embroidered cherubim. All 10 curtains were exactly the same size, 42 feet long and 6 feet wide. 5 of these curtains were joined together to make one long curtain, and the other 5 were joined to make a second long curtain. He made 50 loops of blue yarn and put them along the edge of the last curtain in each set. The 50 loops along the edge of one curtain matched the 50 loops along the edge of the other curtain. Then he made 50 gold clasps and fastened the long curtains together with the clasps. In this way, the tabernacle was made of one continuous piece. He made 11 curtains of goat hair cloth to serve as a tent covering for the tabernacle. These 11 curtains were all exactly the same size, 45 feet long and 6 feet wide. Bezalel joined 5 of these curtains together to make one long curtain, and the other 6 were joined to make a second long curtain. He made 50 loops for the edge of each long curtain. He also made 50 bronze clasps to fasten the long curtains together. In this way, the tent covering was made of one continuous piece. He completed the tent covering with a layer of tanned ram skins and a layer of fine goatskin leather. For the framework of the tabernacle, Bezalel constructed frames of acacia wood. Each frame was 15 feet high and 27 inches wide, with 2 pegs under each frame. All the frames were identical. He made 20 of these frames to support the curtains on the south side of the tabernacle. He also made 40 silver bases, 2 bases under each frame, with the pegs fitting securely into the bases. For the north side of the tabernacle, he made another 20 frames, with their 40 silver bases, 2 bases under each frame. He made 6 frames for the rear, the west side of the tabernacle, along with 2 additional frames to reinforce the rear corners of the tabernacle. These corner frames were matched at the bottom and firmly attached at the top with a single ring, forming a single corner unit. Both of these corner units were made the same way. So there were 8 frames at the rear of the tabernacle set in 16 silver bases, 2 bases under each frame. Then he made crossbars of acacia wood to link the frames, 5 crossbars for the north side of the tabernacle and 5 for the south side. He also made 5 crossbars for the rear of the tabernacle, which faced west. He made the middle crossbar to attach halfway up the frames. It ran all the way from one end of the tabernacle to the other. He overlaid the frames with gold and made gold rings to hold the crossbars. Then he overlaid the crossbars with gold as well. For the inside of the tabernacle, Bezalel made a special curtain of finely woven linen. He decorated it with blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and with skillfully embroidered cherubim. For the curtain, he made 4 posts of acacia wood and 4 gold hooks. He overlaid the posts with gold and set them in 4 silver bases. Then he made another curtain for the entrance to the sacred tent. He made it of finely woven linen and embroidered it with exquisite designs using blue, purple, and scarlet thread. This curtain was hung on gold hooks attached to 5 posts. The posts, with their decorated tops and hooks, were overlaid with gold, and the 5 bases were cast from bronze. And now it's time for our reading here in the New Testament. And our scripture today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 27, verses 32 through 66. Condemned prisoners had to carry their own crosses to the execution site. Man, talk about adding insult to injury. Jesus, weakened from the beatings he had received, was physically unable to carry his cross any farther. So a bystander, a guy named Simon, was forced to do so. Simon was from Cyrene in northern Africa and was probably one of the thousands of Jews visiting Jerusalem for the Passover. Now, wine mixed with gall was offered to Jesus to help reduce his pain, but Jesus refused to drink it. Gall is generally understood to be a narcotic that was used to deaden pain. Jesus would suffer fully conscious and with a clear mind. Now, he yelled out. He was wondering where God the Father went. He couldn't sense his presence. He was not questioning God. He was quoting, actually, the first line of Psalm 22, a deep expression of the anguish he felt when he took on the sins of the world, which caused him to be separated from his Father. This was what Jesus dreaded as he prayed to God in the garden to take the cup from him. Now, the physical agony was horrible, but even worse was the period of spiritual separation from God. Jesus suffered this double death so that we would never have to experience eternal separation from God. And with that, let's begin our reading today here in the New Testament. February 13th, the New Testament. Matthew chapter 27, verses 32 through 66. Along the way, they came across a man named Simon, who was from Cyrene, and the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. And they went out to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. The soldiers gave him mixed wine with bitter gall, but when he had tasted it, he refused to drink it. After they had nailed him to the cross, the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. Then they sat around and kept guard as he hung there. A sign was fastened to the cross above Jesus' head, announcing the charge against him. It read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." 2 revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. The people passing by shouted abuse, shaking their heads in mockery. "Look at you now," they yelled at him. "You said you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Well, then, if you're the Son of God, save yourself and come down from the cross." The leading priests, the teachers of religious law, and the elders also mocked Jesus. "He saved others," they scoffed, "but he can't save himself." "So he is the King of Israel, is he? Let him come down from the cross right now, and we will believe in him. He trusted God, so let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" Even the revolutionaries who were crucified with him ridiculed him in the same way. At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lima sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you abandoned me?" Some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah. One of them ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, holding it up to him on a reed stick so he could drink. But the rest said, "Wait, let's see whether Elijah comes to save him." Then Jesus shouted out again, and he released his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart, and tombs opened. The bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. They left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection, went into the holy city of Jerusalem, and appeared to many people. The Roman officer and the other soldiers at the crucifixion were terrified by the earthquake and all that had happened. They said, "This man truly was the Son of God." And many women who had come from Galilee with Jesus to care for him were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee. As evening approached, Joseph, a rich man from Arimathea, who had become a follower of Jesus, went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. And Pilate issued an order to release it to him. Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a long sheet of clean linen cloth. He placed it in his own new tomb, which had been carved out of the rock. Then he rolled a great stone across the entrance and left. Both Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting across from the tomb and watching. The next day, on the Sabbath, the leading priests and Pharisees went to see Pilate. They told him, "Sir, we remember what the deceiver once said while he was still alive. After 3 days, I will rise from the dead. So we request that you seal the tomb until the third day. This will prevent his disciples from coming and stealing his body and then telling everyone he was raised from the dead. If that happens, we'll be worse off than we were at first." Pilate replied, "Take guards and secure it the best you can." So they sealed the tomb and posted guards to protect it. Psalm 34, verses 1 through 10. Now, God promises great blessings to his people, but many of these blessings require active participation. He will set us free from our fears, guard and defend us, show us goodness, supply our needs, listen when we call to him, and redeem us. But we must do our part, and we can appropriate his blessings when we trust him, when we cry out to him, take refuge in him, fear him, refrain from lying, turn from evil and do good, and search for peace. And when we're brokenhearted, and when we serve him, taste and see does not mean, that's a phrase that we'll read about here in Scripture today, taste and see. It does not mean check out God's credentials. Instead, it's a warm invitation. Try this. I know you're going to like it. See, when we take that first step of obedience and following God, we discover that he is good and kind. When we begin the Christian life, our knowledge of God is partial and incomplete. As we trust him daily, we experience how good he is. Psalm 34, verses 1 through 10, a psalm of David regarding the time he pretended to be insane in front of Abimelech, who sent him away. "I praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. In my desperation I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles. For the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his godly people. for those who fear him will have all they need. Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 7 and 8. Anyone who rebukes a mocker will get an insult in return. Anyone who corrects the wicked will get hurt. So don't bother correcting mockers. They will only hate you. But correct the wise, and they will love you.